We'll wait for our... Come on in, folks. We'll have prayer. You find your place. I will tell you, folks, this message had a lot of blood on it, a lot of blood. Wasn't mine either. Okay. Kind, loving Father, thank you so much. We come to you this afternoon praying for your Holy Spirit to guide in our study. Lord, may we understand the things that are happening in this world, in our church, and in our lives, because these things will affect what happens to us if we are not ready now. Help us to understand these things and put them into action is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. So, the great Laodicea controversy. What is the great Laodicea controversy? Can you prepare for it? Well, something happened there. What does it mean? Who does it affect? How does it affect them? Is there a connection between as it was in the days of Noah and the 10 virgins being asleep? What is Jesus actually trying to warn us about? The close of probation for Laodicea before other Christian churches is part of the great Laodicea controversy. Why? Because you'd be surprised how many Adventists don't believe this. Is there another time of trouble prior to the time of Jacob's trouble? What is the difference between getting ready and being ready? What is the close of probation? The close of probation is not necessarily a single event. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity. That word in Greek is aporia, at a loss for a way, finding no solution of being at one's wit's end, at a loss how to proceed. So when we are perplexed, we don't have an answer. Jesus always had an answer. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. You see, here it says the sea and the waves roaring. Well, what do we know the sea stands for? What is the symbol? Symbol for seas. The waves roaring. The people are in an uproar. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. You notice it doesn't say when these things have already happened, they begin to happen. Have they begun to happen? A time of trouble before probation closes. At the commencement of the time of trouble, we were filled with the Holy Ghost as we went forth and proclaimed the Sabbath more fully. The commencement of that time of trouble, here mentioned, does not refer to the time when the plague shall begin to be poured out. That's the time of Jacob's trouble, by the way. But to a short period just before they are poured out, while Christ is in the sanctuary. At that time, now wait a minute, when is Christ still in the sanctuary? What is he doing? Interceding, judging, yes. At that time, while the work of salvation is closing, trouble will be coming on the earth and the nations will be angry, yet held in check so as not to prevent the work of the third angel. I had a pastor call me, ask me, do I think America will go to war with North Korea? I said, if America goes to war with anyone, it would probably be China. But here, it says the angry nations will be held in check. So the work of the third angel can progress. It is only when your character is fundamentally transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, that is the early rain, sanctification, that you will be able to receive the outpouring of the latter rain. You cannot get the latter rain unless you have been transformed by the early rain. The early rain is transformative. The latter rain is performing the will of God with power and strength that has never before been seen on this earth, not even by the apostles. There must be no neglect of the grace, that is power, represented by the former early rain. Only those who are living up to the light they have will receive greater light. Unless we are weakly advancing in the exemplification, what? Not weekly. Daily. You mean to say that it means that just coming to church isn't enough? You know, I am so glad that you all stopped me, because I was afraid you were going to let me keep going. Unless we are daily advancing in the exemplification of the active Christian virtues, we shall not recognize the manifestations of the Holy Spirit in the latter rain. It may be falling on hearts all around us, but we shall not discern or receive it. In other words, we shall be lost and not even know it. There is a citation here, and I was editing, and I guess it dropped off. But trust me, those aren't my words. Those are Ellen White. A form of godliness will not save any. All must have a deep and living experience. This alone will save them in the time of trouble. I hope we understand what this means. Almost saved. The great Laodicea controversy, wise, foolish, 10 virgins. Appearance of godliness, lukewarm, wise Laodicea. When will those crying, Lord, Lord, make their woeful plea? Now, I have not explained and gone through the Lord, Lord. That's a whole different message. But in short, those crying, Lord, Lord, are those who have been shut out and realize too late that they do not have the Spirit of God within them. It is being made even now. Lord, Lord, is not what they are going to say, because it is the excuse we are giving to ourselves for not meeting all of God's requirements today. But Lord, Lord, you understand, I'm busy, I have work, I have a family. And by the way, let me make sure we understand, Lord, Lord, is really what is being said by people who are claiming a personal relationship with Christ. Because this is being said to him. Lord, Lord, haven't we, and then eaten with you? You were teaching in our streets, so on and so forth. So you are saying, Lord, Lord, because you are claiming that you know him. But what does he say? I don't know you. You know, a lot of people claim, oh, I know President Trump. I know President Obama. Yeah, but does he know you? You see? And there's a big difference, isn't there? I know Jesus. Yeah. But does he know you? It's why so few will be saved, facing a shut door, and why lukewarm Laodicea is doomed, facing probation's close. Only those wise who overcome and claim victory in Laodicea will stand on the sea of glass. I have a message I wrote, oh, maybe 10 years ago, called The Sea of Broken Glass. It's interesting. One day we'll do it. Satan has prepared for most of God's people to be almost saved. Why so few saved? Because each one has full confidence in his own salvation. But good enough is almost saved, which is completely lost. Because we are convinced that the parable of the 10 virgins is really about them, not me. But they are all really about me. Not getting wise in lukewarm Laodicea, salvation evaporation, the almost saved. A woman was driving through Oregon over the Cascade Range. She ran into a mighty snowstorm and became very frightened. Then she peered ahead and saw a snowplow. What luck! She kept it as close to the machine as she could while it removed snow from the road. At times, the heavy snowfall almost cut off her view. but her faithful guide kept on leading the way. After some time, the plow stopped, and his driver got out and walked over to her car. "Lady, where are you going?" he asked. "I'm on my way to Central Oregon." "Well, you'll never get there following me. I'm plowing this parking lot." Our problem is we are not following Christ. We're following somebody's snowplow, and it's going nowhere. Unless you follow Jesus, and here's the interesting thing. She's following the snowplow, and she's moving. She's going forward, and she's not going anywhere. And you know, that's how the devil deceives us. He makes us think we're doing well. But unless we know Jesus, hear his voice, all we're doing is following the snowplow in the parking lot. My message is to alarm you. I have not come to cry peace. You can hear this voice wherever you go. There are those who will be glad to lull you to sleep in your carnal, that is, earthly security. But I have a different work. My message is to alarm you, to bid you reform your lives. Here's what she asks. Is your character such as will bear the search of the heavenly investigation? You know, this is not a court of law with Judge Judy. This is about an investigation of the Lord God of heaven. There is no safety for one who has merely a legal religion, a form of godliness. This legal religion is really the definition of Laodicea. The Christian's life is not a modification or improvement of the old, but a transformation of what? Nature. There is a death to self and sin, and a new life altogether. This change can be brought about only by the effectual working of the Holy Spirit. And by that she means the early rain power of transformation. She said it, remember? We have to be transformed in nature. The Laodicean message has its application in conditions that exist where? In the church of God today. She wrote this over 120 years ago. I think it's gotten better, right? Huh? You don't think so? Neither do I. What's that? Yeah. Many of God's people have grown, what is that word? Indifferent. You see, people think that the opposite of love is hate. Wrong. The opposite of love is indifference. You see, God's people have grown indifferent to the admonitions of the Lord. Many who were once firm believers in the truth have become careless in regard to their spiritual welfare and are yielding without opposition to Satan's well-laid plots. I don't know why it gets so quiet here. I mean, are you thinking about who is she talking about? Okay. You need to have practiced the faith of Jesus and fall on your knees and touch his garment to be healed before the time of trouble. I have put this up almost every time I've come up here, this time with a little difference. It is a solemn statement that I make to the church that not one in 20 whose names are registered upon the church books are prepared to close their earthly history. Jesus said in about six places in Scripture, "For many are called, but few are chosen." Ellen White does not make this startling statement without the Bible backing her up, and they are Jesus' own words. "For many are called, but few are chosen." The word "few" in Greek is oligos. It means puny. Remember, I didn't have a chance to put this in. I meant to. Jesus said, "Broad is the way, and many there be that go therein. But narrow is the gate, and what? Few there be that find it." Puny! Many are called. I want you to know, we have in our church here at Fallbrook a membership of 400 or so. They're all called! But how many are chosen? Who does the choosing? Who does the choosing? We choose to be on the Lord's side. God doesn't say eeny, meeny, miny, mo. It's your choice. So if you aren't chosen, don't look around to your husband or your wife or your neighbor. Your choice. Many are called. Few out of the called. Here it is. The definition is the distinction between the called, katoi, and the ekletoi, the chosen. They are the chosen out of the called. They are the remnant out of the remnant. God's remnant church is not who are saved. It's the remnant from the remnant who are saved. And that's what this says here. Laodicea, the name means a people judged. The Laodicean church, in terms of history, you start with the church in Ephesus, number one, and you go through six churches. The church at Ephesus basically begins in AD 31. When does the church at Laodicea begin? 1844. What happened in 1844? To do what? To do the judgment. That's why Laodicea is called a people judged. Does this start tying together with you here? Laodicea is a people being judged. But because you say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and what? Have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Let's look at these words for a moment. Wretched. I'm getting these out of the Bible dictionary. Enduring toils and troubles. Miserable. Most pitiable. Poor. By gold refined in fire. Blind. By eyesight. Naked. By white garment. Why are these on the list, wretched and miserable? I'm going to go through this again, but I want you to notice something here. There are only three things that God says for you to buy: gold, eye salve, and the white garment. So why does he add? Remember, this is in his letter to the Laodicea church. So why does he add wretched and miserable? Why does he add wretched and miserable? Okay? Lukewarm, five foolish virgins. Now, we're going to go through this again, as I told you, but he has the number five there. He adds wretched and miserable, so you come up with five. Because he is now associating lukewarm Laodicea with five foolish virgins. We're going to get into this. Now, here is what I want you to notice. Because you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. So here I go again. I'll tell you something. I've said this over and over again. There is nothing in Scripture that is accidental. Nothing. And most of us do not recognize a slight anomaly here. Notice what he calls us: wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. He says, poor, blind, and naked. But when he tells you what you need to buy, he says, I need you to buy the gold. That's the poor part. But instead of blind being next, he tells you you need the white garment. And then the eye salve. So you notice there's a difference in the order of what he calls you as opposed to the order in which you are to buy. Now, there's a very good reason for that. Look at this. You are poor, blind, and naked. This is what you are. You are blind because you cannot see that you are naked. We don't see it. Laodicea doesn't see it. But, and I'm going to go through this again later, there is a reason that he has the gold, the garment, and the eye salve in that order of buying. It's important because here is the fact. The gold refined in fire, the white garment, and the eye salve have to be purchased in that order. I'm going to get to that later on. Promise you. Okay, I can't make a promise. I won't. We're going to get to that. Okay. What have you got to sell? What have you got to sell? What does God want from you? Do you have anything to sell?
No, but he says in Isaiah it says it's free.
No, it's not free. It's free, but it's not free. What is the cost to you to buy the gold? What's that? Well, yeah, that happens after you get the eye salve. What you have to do is give Jesus something that is absolutely worthless. And that is your lives and your sinful. See, Jesus is going to give us something that is worth infinite value for something that is worthless. We're going to get to that. Okay. Let me go on. We're talking about the parable of the 10 virgins. Those who were foolish took the lamps and no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. Okay? Now, every word here is important. When the five foolish virgins go out to meet the bridegroom, they bring with them only the grace, that is the oil, of unmerited favor. They rejected the grace, that is the oil in their vessels, of the power to transform character. I want you to understand this. Okay, we're going to go through this. When the bridegroom came, the bridegroom coming symbolizes the close of probation. The five foolish virgins realized they were not prepared for the crisis. Now, the crisis is not my word. This is what Ellen White calls this, and found that their lack of grace power would be to their eternal loss. Cheap grace versus life and character transforming grace. Cheap grace is unmerited favor. I can do anything I want. I'm saved by grace. That's cheap grace. The life and character transforming grace is the grace of sanctification that comes through the transforming power of the early rain, Holy Ghost. Okay, moros, foolish. It is a scorn, disregard for heart and character. Now, does this now begin to make more sense about why they didn't have oil in their vessels? Because they had a disregard for transforming character. Or am I making this up? Let me tell you, I understood the parable of the 10 virgins the way most people did until I started looking stuff up. And when I found that foolish meant disregard for heart and character, it all began to make sense. They didn't want to transform heart. They wanted, well, the oil in the vessel of the wise represents the Holy Spirit's early rain. In Scripture, five represents grace. So wait a minute, Michael. If five represents grace, the five foolish virgins had grace. Yes! But unmerited favor, grace, only gets you so far. I've said this time and again, I'll say it again. I have never been to an Adventist church where I've asked a show of hands or tell me what grace is. Unmerited favor. Unmerited. Everyone. I have never been to a church, an Adventist church, where someone says grace is the power to transform your character. Never. Everyone, unmerited favor. Unmerited favor means justification. And guess what? You're in the church. You have all accepted Christ's justification. You have been called. Those who choose to be saved are the ones that receive the early rain power to transform your character. And those are the ones who have oil in their vessel. So what would the vessel represent? Your heart. Do you see? Without oil in the vessel, all you have is cheap grace. Moving on. Here's some interesting things. Externally, all the maidens looked identical. Each had a regard for truth. They were not hypocrites. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. So here we have two quotations, one from Matthew, one from Luke. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, giving in marriage. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. Everything continues daily as normal. That is the metaphor for the foolish and the wise virgins being asleep. The daily activities continue as if nothing has happened. Now, here's the problem. The wise virgins don't worry about what's not happening except in their souls and in their character. The foolish virgins, everything's going on, it's okay. All right, so what if they elected Trump? It's all right. You see, folks, the difference between the wise and the foolish. Both the wise and the foolish believed that the bridegroom was coming and they desired to meet him. But only the wise acted on their convictions. Ellen White says, desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go. But if you stop here, they will avail what? Nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to be Christians. Lord, come again at some more convenient time. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And here you can see in this picture the wise virgins, their lamps lit with oil in their vessel. And the foolish virgins, their lamps have gone out and they need oil. Now, when I first heard this, I said, well, wait a minute. If the wise virgins are such good people, why don't they give up some of their oil? You know, come on, let's share and share alike. Why didn't the wise give up their oil? And that's the very point. You can't give character. You cannot share character with someone who is bankrupt. They must gain it through the process of going through those trials and tribulations. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And again, I put here Laodicea, a people judged. Now, most people look at judgment as negative. But here we find that the wise virgins were judged in God's favor. And the foolish were judged because they neglected God. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And the bridegroom coming represents what? It was only a few slides ago. The bridegroom coming represents the close of probation. I know you don't believe me, but I'll prove it. And those who were ready went in with him to the wedding. And the door was what? What does shutting the door mean? What happened when Noah shut the door? Their probation was closed. The shut door means probation is closed. They went in with the bridegroom to the wedding feast. Did I? Afterwards, the other virgins came also saying, what? Lord, Lord, open to us. Afterward, the other virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Now, there is something very interesting about the Greek language. When I say no in English, no is no. What do they say? What part of no don't you understand? Okay. In Greek, however, there are at least three words for no. The word that is used here by Christ is no, it is a negative response to a question expecting an affirmative answer. In other words, friends, these folk knocked on the door fully expecting to be let in. What does that tell you? They had no clue as to their deficiency. In other words, they did not know they were deficient. Who does that sound like to you? Does it sound like Laodicea? And God said, Jesus says here, I do not even recognize you. Now that's sad. I mean, at least he can say, okay, I've seen you before. He didn't even recognize them. That's the word that's used here. Laodicea, a people judged, they could not get in. Let's decode the 10 virgin symbols. Okay? Here we go. 10 represents judgment, a test, and a trial. How many virgins? 10. What does Laodicea mean? A people judged. Are you with me? We're putting these together here. Oil represents, now, most people, oil represents the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, oil cannot represent the Holy Spirit alone without the word grace with it. Here is why. Because who is it that transforms us? The Holy Spirit. Through what? Through grace. We are saved by grace through faith. You see? So the oil representing the Holy Spirit means that, number one, I have his unmerited favor, justification. And two, I have the power of transformation, which is not past tense, but is progressive, is ongoing, sanctification. The lamp. All 10 virgins had a lamp. The lamp represents the word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. So all 10 virgins had the word of God. Virgin. The word virgin here represents the pure Bible church. The 144,000 were all virgins. How is it that they were virgins? Because they had not been seduced through the abominations of the beast. So, all 10 were virgins. They all had the Bible and they all had the pure Bible truth. 5 is grace. We've already talked about that. The 5 foolish virgins had unmerited favor, Holy Spirit grace only. What I call stay in place grace is like the lady in the car following the snowplow. You've got the grace that stays in place and you go nowhere. The 5 wise virgins have the power of early rain, Holy Spirit grace, that transforms character. Do you see the difference? It worries me when you all are there silent and someone says, I see it, I see it. Okay. The shut door. It literally means the loss of heaven and the close of probation. The door is shut. Foolish mortals scorn or disdain of heart and character. Oil in their vessel is a transforming Holy Spirit in their heart. So, what is the connection between the five foolish virgins and Simon Magus? I bet some of you haven't put that together yet. Let's look and see. Hear what the foolish virgins and Simon Magus have in common. He offered them money, saying, "Give me this power, the Holy Spirit." The five foolish virgins go rather to those who sell and buy oil for yourselves. Do you see here? No amount of money can purchase the oil of faith, grace to gain Holy Spirit power. So when they went out to buy, they were not buying, must have been buying snake oil. That's all I can. It was a plan of Satan to possess God's power without acquiring his character. Does that resonate at all? He didn't want to change. He just wanted the power. You can no more enter heaven without a thorough change of character than could Simon Magus, who thought that the Holy Ghost could be bought with money. It is only when your character is fundamentally transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, early rain, that you will be able to receive the outpouring of the latter rain. Then the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. The parable of the 10 virgins may have an even more tragic ending. And that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So I ask this question here. Marked or sealed? Because obviously they could go out and buy. It was the careless indifference of the foolish virgins who believed that knowledge of the truth was sufficient to enter the kingdom. Character transformation, acquiring Jesus' character through the Holy Spirit oil in their vessel, left them too little time for leisure pleasure. Therefore, the close of their probation was tragic. I'm going to run through this because I have a lot more I want to get through. Some people, how do you know that 10 is the means judging or testing? So I thought I would answer that before you asked it. So here we go. The Feast of Trumpets, it's called Rosh Hashanah, the warning of coming judgment, that is Yom Kippur, takes place 10 days before the first day of the month to prepare for the 10th day of the month, which is Yom Kippur. So here you have 10 days of warning that takes place on the 10th day of judgment. Yom Kippur is judgment. Okay? Here you have Moses in Egypt. 10 plagues. 10 plagues. Who was being judged here? Who was the judgment against here? I'll answer my own questions as you all are silent. The gods of Egypt were being judged, and they were judged as being what? Worthless. Jesus heals 10 lepers. Not 3, not 5, not 6, 10. And how did he tell them? What did he tell them to do? What did he tell these 10 lepers to do? Did he heal them and then say, go? What did he do? He said, go show yourselves to the priest. And as they turned to show themselves to the priest, they were healed. How many were there? And what were they supposed to do? Show themselves to the priest so that the priest could do what? Judge that they had been cured of leprosy. There it is again. The Ten Commandments. Oh, come on, that's not about judgment. Is it? Huh? The Ten Commandments represents what test of loyalty and obedience we meet with God. Oh, here's a good one. I had no idea what this meant until I did some. From Adam to Noah was 10 generations. And what happened after 10 generations? Judgment, the flood. Ah. And from Noah to Abraham, 10 generations. And what happened then? Judgment of Sodom and Gomorrah. Wow. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing. Daniel, he asked to be tested for 10 days. And of course, lastly, the 10 virgins. It was a test. They were going to be judged. We discovered that in each example, 10 represents a test and or a trial followed by judgment. Laodicea, a people judged. 10 represents testing and judgment. The parable of the 10 virgins symbolizes the close of probation and how God will judge his remnant church, how God will judge his Laodicean church, how God will test his Laodicean church. Laodicea is the only church God has no praise for, no praise, no commendation. He has nothing good to say about Laodicea. Because Laodicea, in their lukewarm state, has nothing good in it. Why Satan needs to keep all of Laodicea lukewarm, you do not actually perceive it, but Satan is out to deceive you 24/7. While you are sleeping, he is deceiving. He is deceiving you. Satan never sleeps. No man without his own consent can be overcome by Satan. You should say amen to that. Yeah. We don't want to say amen because we constantly give Satan consent. The tempter has no power to control the will or to force the soul to sin. He may distress, but he cannot contaminate. He can cause agony, but not defilement. You'll find this in Greek Controversy 5:10. But if you defile yourself, you have given Satan permission to have control over your will, and you then become his willing and obliging slave. And who Satan controls, he never lets go. It is only through the power of Jesus Christ in yielding ourselves to him that he rescues us from the power of Satan. Otherwise, we are slaves forever to him. You are his specific target because you are in Laodicea and have claimed Jesus as your Savior. Today, he is leading you carefully with willing compliance. That is, you're denying that you're being deceived. When you deny you're being deceived, you are willingly being compliant with Satan. You are, with willing compliance, down his feel-good path of least resistance. He will make you feel good just as you are. You don't need to change a thing. This is what he's telling Laodicea. This is why puny will be saved. He has methods that are specifically designed for SDAs. They are especially aimed at keeping Laodicea lukewarm. Now, I want to pause here and just, because I've been thinking about this. You know, the Holy Spirit is omniscient and omnipresent. That means he knows everything and can be everywhere at the same time. Satan cannot. Did you ever think about that? Satan can't be everywhere at the same time. So, and I know it doesn't seem like it, but Satan does not have unlimited resources. So, what do you think he does with his resources? Does he concentrate his resources on Hollywood Boulevard? In Las Vegas? In Washington, D.C.? Except maybe Tacoma Park? The headquarters? Or is it Silver Springs? Where is it now? Silver Springs, okay. Let me tell you. Satan has resources that I believe that he double and triple covers God's church. And I think some of us are aware of that. You see, Satan cannot know everything. He cannot know. He has to have his, what do you call them? Minions? His little devils, whatever they are, he has to have them report back to him. You know, you have the upper hand when you have Jesus and the Holy Spirit, because Satan cannot do what God can do. And if he takes control of my life or your life, It's only because you have opened to him the avenues of access to your mind by what you read, by what you think, and what you think is what you read and what you watch on TV, the internet. Do I need to go on? Video games? Satan has limited power. Let's not give him any more. His greatest fear is an armed and spiritually aroused militant Laodicea that has come out of their comfort zone to confront their own spiritual malaise and indolence. A spiritually aroused Laodicea will give a Holy Spirit energy to the powerful voice of the loud cry. A lukewarm Laodicea will only give voice to a weak squeak. Satan does not want any militant Laodiceans to sound the alarm and call out of Babylon the thousands, the millions, the billions of God's people whom he has brought in over the decades into pagan slavery and false worship. This is a battle to the death, and it is your death Satan is calculating because he knows only too well what his end will be. Part-time Christians in lukewarm Laodicea cannot defeat full-time devils. The Laodicea 10 Virgins Connections. I want you to try and visualize, and I hope we're making some progress here with this, that you can see the connection here and where you and I fit in. These are all things that are in common with Laodicea and the 10 virgins. First of all, lamps. The wise have the word of God, which is a lamp. So do the foolish. Oil is in their lamp. So do the foolish. But oil in the lamp and the vessel is only in the wise. The foolish have no need of oil in their vessel because they figure, hey, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. The wise have refined in the fire gold. They are rich. The foolish have Laodicea gold that perishes. They are poor. They are consumed with leisure pleasure. The wise have their garments washed in the blood of the Lamb. They are covered. The foolish. Laodicea was world famous for their black sheep. You know, to be the black sheep of the family was prized in Laodicea. Their wool was renowned throughout the known world. And they wove garments, and they were proud. They did not consider needing white garments. This is what they did. They were wealthy. At least they thought they were. Laodicea was so wealthy when they had an earthquake that destroyed the city of Laodicea. And Laodicea was a major city of the time. When it destroyed the city, the Roman viceroy came and offered assistance to help rebuild the city. And Laodicea said, "We don't need your help. We'll do it ourselves." Do you see where this concept to have need of nothing comes from. It is the way the city was and the church. And the ISAP, the wise virgins, have the Holy Spirit ISAP, that is Christ's vision. If you weren't aware of it, beside, I didn't talk about the lukewarm water, they had the hot water for the mineral springs. And the water ran down out of the mountain that was hot. By the time it got to the city, it was lukewarm. You don't want to drink lukewarm water. Make you sick. Okay? So they had the water. They had the wool. And now they have the ISAP. Literally, Laodicea Medical School came up with, and you can see what they think are two examples here of patches for curing various eye diseases. This was, again, one of the things that made Laodicea famous and wealthy, was their eye salve, as it were. So as you can see, when Jesus said, I want you to buy gold and garment and eye salve, he was talking to the people that said, we have it all already. And Jesus was trying to say, but you need what I have. So here you see Laodicea, the five wise, the five foolish virgins. Here you have Babylon, Rome. And here you have the wise virgins in Laodicea. We're going to make a comparison. Babylon, the harlot, mother of harlots, made nations drink from the cup of her abominations and commit fornication with her. Virgin means a people who are not corrupted, deceived, or seduced by the abominations found in the golden cup of the harlot church mystery Babylon, and who have the pure Bible truth and are without guile. We talked about this in Sabbath school. The word guile in the New King James is called deceit. Has a word in Greek, it's called dolos. Dolos. Dolos means guile, deceit. But when you go back to the etymology, that is, where the word actually comes from, why they came up with that word, it means fish bait. You are using guile to capture a fish. You put the bait on the hook, and the fish thinks he's getting a tasty meal, and instead he becomes a tasty meal. Okay? This is guile. And this is what the true church of God does not have. And Babylon believes in church tradition and pope over the Bible. The wise virgins in Laodicea, the Bible is the Christian spiritual guide. They believe everlasting burning in hell. The Bible says sinners are consumed and become ashes. Baptism, infant, and sprinkling and pouring. Baptism by immersion means we are dead to sin. And then we are risen, raised out to to a new life. Grace comes only through the Catholic Church. Grace is God's gift to man through Christ. Saved by grace means the law is abolished. Grace establishes the law. Seventh-day Sabbath replaced by Sunday. Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath, and he says, I change not. There is no absolute truth. Jesus is truth. There is no other. Jesus is the way. There is no other. Jesus is the door. There is no other. Jesus is absolute truth. There is no other way. Sins forgiven only by the priest. Only God can forgive sin. Lives in incredible luxury. We again talked about this morning in Sabbath school. All of these bishops, cardinals, they live in incredible multi-million dollar palaces around the world. Jesus lived in meek, humble poverty. He said, foxes have holes, birds have nests, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Immortal soul, no death. The soul that sins shall die. Go immediately to heaven, hell. I didn't have room for it, or purgatory. I understand that lately they have dismissed purgatory. Okay, it raised a whole lot of money for them. Death is sleeping silently in the grave. The mark of the beast, three angels' message, and the seal of God. I have other sheep not of this fold. Come out of her, my people, is the word of Bible. More severe than those of any other age, he, Satan, has artfully presented his side of the question, employing sophistry and fraud to secure his objects. How Satan deceived one third of holy, perfect angels. By disguising himself in a cloak of falsehood, he had gained an advantage because God could not lie, he could not make false representations, and he was wholly transparent, while Satan presented mysteries cloaked within mysteries, confusing. All his acts were so clothed with mystery that it was difficult to disclose to the angel the true nature of his work. We don't stand a chance alone against this demonic mastermind. Only with the faith and mind of Jesus will we survive his deceit and almost overmastering deceptions. More than 6,000 years of continual practice has greatly increased his skill to deceive and allure. Thus, while the power of the human race to resist temptation is continually decreasing, Satan's skill and power to tempt are continually increasing. This is one of the great reasons why the temptations of the last days will be more severe than those of any other age. One third of the holy, perfect angels succumb to Lucifer's deceptions, what chance do you and I have? As it stands, we will be heading into battle unarmed. Our only hope is in the only one to defeat Satan in the flesh. We must have his mind, the mind of Christ, in us. Lukewarm Laodicea does that by hearing his voice, opening the door, and he will enter and dine with me and I with him. And Christ's mind cannot and will not share space with TV, internet, social media, video games, and you name it. On fire Christians in wise Laodicea will defeat full-time devils. Consider, if you will, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked lukewarm Laodicea. The Bible states that most in Laodicea will be lost. But where in Scripture does Jesus ever advise his elect to leave lukewarm Laodicea? For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know, just as I also am known. The eye salve of victory, Laodicea. Jesus' advice is clear. Get the gold refined in the fire, the white garment, and the eye salve. We particularly need the eye salve so that we will have the eyes of Christ, so that we will be able to see through each and every cleverly disguised deception of the destroyer of souls. Behold, we see that a lot, don't we, in Scripture? The word means pay attention. I'm about to say something important. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And what do you suppose is on the menu? This is not fast food. When you dine with Jesus, he takes his time to be only with you. What happens when you open the door to Jesus? I thought I would explore that, and here's what I came up with. The road to Emmaus, there were two. And when they got to their town, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, that is to come in, for it is toward evening and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Had the disciples failed to press their invitation, they would not have known that their traveling companion was the risen Lord. Christ never forces his company upon anyone. He interests himself in those who what? Need him. And what does Laodicea say? Have need of nothing. Huh? Gladly, he will enter the humblest home and cheer the lowliest heart. But if men are too indifferent to think of the heavenly guest or ask him to abide with them, he passes on. Thus, many meet with great loss. They do not know Christ any more than did the disciples as he walked with them by the way. So here is what happens when Jesus comes into dine with us. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. But watch. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? I want you to understand that when we open the door to Jesus through using his word and prayer, our hearts will burn within us. And notice what happens. It says, their eyes were opened, and he opened the scriptures. Now look, the word is dianoigo, to open up completely, intensive of the scriptures. They knew the scriptures. They knew Christ. He opened their eyes, and he opened the scripture. And furthermore, it says they knew him. The word is epignosko. That means a knowledge which perfectly unites the subject with the object. You are the subject. He is the object. And they knew him. We need to have this epignosko experience daily. And our hearts will burn within us, knowing the heartbeat of God. Now, I'm virtually out of time, but I want to, let me see, how can I? Okay, I'm gonna start here, and I'm gonna finish up in a few minutes. Okay. When I did this a month ago, I remember what I did, but you won't, because I have it written down here. But remember we had Paul in 1 Corinthians 13 tell us, and now abides faith, hope, and love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. And we expressed the reality that love does not stand alone. To get to love, you must first have faith and then hope, and you get to love. And then we realized hope is the same way. If you're going to have hope, you have to go through tribulation, perseverance, and building character. That gains you hope. Then we found out faith. If you want to have faith, hope, and love, you've got to have faith. Faith is trials, the refined gold, that's what Peter calls it, and genuineness. So you see, faith, hope, and love, each one of those is a journey by itself. Now, remember I told you I was going to get to this? I don't know why I made that yellow. Gold refined. I think I actually moved this. But when you see Laodicea, Laodicea needs the gold refined, the white garments, and you get the eye salve. None of these are separate, discrete steps. They are all interlocking, interconnected. You don't receive faith without prayer, but you cannot pray without faith. And you need the refined gold for faith, trials, and character. and the white garment for heart transformation, so you can receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, sight, the eye salve, which is your compass that will carry you in any direction that reveals deception. Faith takes us along a similar path. I missed because we covered this already. You see, I'm just showing you the text here. I don't just put these things together to make pictures, even though I don't do good pictures. Anyway, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your what? Faith produces patience. Peter compared faith to gold, that the genuineness of your faith being much more than precious, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory. So as you see, faith, say, oh, Lord, give me more faith. How do you get to faith? Trials, testing. You see, so the moment we start asking for faith, you'd better know what you're asking for. So, I make it a little simpler here. Trials, refined gold, genuineness, faith. Tribulation, endurance, character, hope. Refined gold, white garment, eye salve. This is what is needed. As we conclude here, we're going to repeat this. Tribulation, endurance, character, hope, faith, hope, love. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Wait a minute. Rejoice? Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. You know something? The time has to come very soon when I ask the question, how many rejoice in your tribulations? And everyone raises his hand. You see, because it is the tribulations that are testing and preparing us for something we cannot imagine happening to us. Without the testing of trials and tribulation, character is not transformed. Actually, character is not transforming, and there can be no blessed hope. Oh, and here's one. This knocked me over. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin.